السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين وإياكم، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير.
We can start the class.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد, yesterday our readings were about the virtue of helping your brother, and we actually started from the negative repercussions of not being a grateful servant. What are the evil implications that a Muslim is not a grateful person by his instincts and by his attitude? He has an instinct not to be grateful to people. May Allah protect us. And he has an attitude not to be grateful to people. We read yesterday that these kinds of people, what that means is that they do not give thanks to Allah. We also understood from that hadith that what that means is that when they do not give thanks to the people, their giving thanks to Allah will not be acceptable. Their giving thanks to Allah will not be acceptable. We came on also to the discussions about ma'unatu rajuli akhahu. Ma'unatu rajuli akhahu. We read that under Babu ma'unatu rajuli akhahu, the chapter about a person's helping his brother. What are the rewards when you help your brother? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made us understand that from the major aspects of good deeds is that the individual helps his brother. From the major aspects of good deeds is that the individual finds a means to help his brother. From the major aspects of good deeds is that the Muslim helps his brother. And that from the best aspects of good deeds is that the iman of the individual is sound. And then he participates in jihadun fi sabilillah. All of these were explained yesterday. And then when the man asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ ضَعُفْتُ, what do you think I should do in da'uf if I become so unable to help? I can't help a Muslim who is a working person. He can't find help because the Prophet had said, "Tu'inu sani'an," help a person who is upon a job. Somebody is upon a job, help him upon his job. Or you also provide help to a person who is not skilled, he does not have a job. You can provide him a job. You can also give him something to eat, at least lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever. You have helped him. So don't say, oh, if you provide him help for breakfast, he will not find help for dinner. So you should not help him for breakfast. Help him. It would have been recorded for you as help within the limits that you can provide for him. The companion now asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ ضَعُفْتُ, what do you think I should do? I can't provide any kind of a help at all in any way. He has an inability to help. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَدْعُ النَّاسَ مِنَ الشَّرْ, you leave the people out of evil. You leave the people away from evil. If you cannot help them, then don't cause them harm. If you cannot help the people, don't cause them harm. Said alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّهَا صَدَقَةٌ فَصَدَّقُ بِهَا عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ, because when you don't cause them harm, that's also from the aspects of the things that will be considered as if you do charity, you will have the ruling and the reward of a person who does charity when he don't cause people harm. Don't cause the people harm. The basic rule is that you help them. If you now cannot help them, then don't cause them harm. If you cannot help them, don't cause the people harm. May Almighty Allah protect us from being means of any sort of a harm to any person. It is from the worst of evils. You can't help somebody. You can't protect your faith. You can't give sadaqa. You can't give any sort of a help. And then what you do is you direct harm to people that you should help. May Allah protect us. While explaining this hadith, there's a point of reference that came to mind, but we did not mention it, and I think it is good we mention it. And then we quickly move to the chapter for today. One of the scholars who did the sharh of this hadith, the last hadith we read in the last class that we just tried to highlight, he said, "Wafil hadith," that this hadith contains husnul muraja'ati. This hadith contains husnul muraja'a, coming back to ask again, find out again in a nice manner. It contains asking a learned person, ask him again, in a nice manner. وصبر المفتي والمعلم على من يفتيه أو يعلمه. صبر المفتي. When the student comes to ask again, find out again, ask again, finding out, saying, opening up options. I can't do this. What should I do? I can't do this. How about this? How about this? This person who is being asked, yasbiru, he should have patience. He should not be angry. So from the lessons we have learned here was that the man was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best thing that I can do? I believe in Allah, make jihad. What is the best way to free a slave? Free the best slave, the one who is most valuable to you, free him. What if I cannot do that, O Messenger of Allah? To help the person who is upon a job, or help the person who doesn't even have a job. What if I'm able to look at this? Some of these kinds of questioning and coming back to question, they may anger and infuriate a person who is being asked. So from the lesson we learned here is sabrul mufti, that the one who is being asked about the rulings of the Sharia should be very, very patient. Wal mu'allim, the teacher should be patient. Ala man yuftihi aw yu'allimhu, should be patient with the one who asks him questions or the one that he is teaching. When the questions are asked, sometimes the question brings about some sort of an anger, some sort of discomfort to the person who is asked. This hadith encourages that our teachers and those we ask about the manners, the rulings of religion, they should be patient. They should be patient. وَاحْتِمَالِ كَفْرَةِ مَسَائِلِهِ. He should bear the much questions. He should bear it. He should bear with his asking. وَتَقْرِيرَاتِهِ. And trying to establish a point, trying to find out. The teachers should be patient. They should bear with it. The one who has given this point of reference from this hadith was Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. This is وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ حُسْنُ الْمُرَاجَعَةِ وَالصَّبْرُ الْمُفْتِي وَالْمُعَلِّمِ عَلَى مَنْ يُفْتِيهِ أَوْ يُعَلِّمُهُ وَاحْتِمَالُ كَثْرَةِ مَسَائِلِهِ وَتَقْرِيرَاتِهِ. I hope that that point is clear. Teachers, and those of you who are asked questions about religion, be patient when sometimes the questions become much intertwined, not perhaps clear, repeated, and all of these. Sometimes, as human beings, we become uncomfortable and perhaps angry about those questions. This hadith, the Prophet was not angry, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was patiently explaining the rulings to the person who had asked him about them. May Allah grant each and every one of us these kinds of patience. Sometimes we really run out of patience, become comfortable. That lesson needed to be highlighted. We move to the next hadith under the chapter heading Babun Ahlul Ma'ruf fi Dunya Ahlul Ma'ruf fi Akhirah. Ahlul Ma'ruf fi Dunya أهل المعروف في الآخرة. باب أهل المعروف في الدنيا أهل المعروف في الآخرة. Here the chapter heading is about the rewards for being a kind person, the rewards for being compassionate, the reward for directing good to people, the reward for being helpful to others, the reward for being useful to others, the reward for being a person who will not bring harm. Don't forget, from the aspects of goodness is that you do not direct harm to the people. What has been said in the Sharia and the Sunnah about these kinds of people? So Al-Imam al-Bukhari places it under the chapter heading, Ahlul Ma'ruf fi dunya, Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-Akhirah. The people who do Ma'ruf, the people of goodness. Good people in this world, Ahlul Ma'ruf fi al-Akhirah. They will also be the good people in the Hereafter. The good people in this world, the people of goodness, Ahlul Ma'ruf, people who direct good to others, Ahlul Ma'ruf bil Akhirah. They will also be the ones who will be in charge of that, who will also direct good. They will also direct goodness. What does this really mean? Inshallah, we'll come back to the hadith today. There are three meanings the ulama have given to this expression, Ahlul Ma'ruf. People who are good in this world, they will be people of goodness in the hereafter. How? We shall come back to it when we explain the hadith, inshallah. That hadith is hadith 221 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا علي بن أبي هاشم قال حدثني نصير ابن عمر ابن يزيد ابن قبيصة ابن يزيد الأسد عن فلان قال سمعت برمة ابن ليس ابن برمة أنه سمع قبيصة ابن برمة الأسد سمع قبيصة ابن برمة الأسد قال كنت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فسمعته يقول أهل المعروف في الدنيا هم أهل المعروف في الآخرة وأهل المنكر في الدنيا هم أهل المنكر في الآخرة أهل المعروف في الدنيا هم أهل المعروف في الآخرة وأهل المنكر في الدنيا هم أهل المنكر في الآخرة. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from the Sheikh علي بن أبي هاشم. He reported it from the Sheikh علي بن أبي هاشم رحمه الله who said حدثني نصير بن عمر. This Nusayr ibn Umar is one of the great grandchildren of the companion Qabisa. Qabisa ibn Yazid al-Asadi is the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qabisa ibn Yazid, Qabisa ibn Burma, Qabisa ibn Burma, Qabisa ibn Burma is the companion al-Asadi, is the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nusayr ibn Umar ibn Yazid ibn Qabisa ibn Yazid al-Asadi, the entirety of his lineage has been mentioned in this hadith. He is reporting, he said, an fulan. He said, an fulan. Qala sami'tu burmata ibn Lays ibn Burma. He heard from Burma, Burma to Ibn Ulayth in Ibn Burma. Fulan, one Fulan, someone heard from Burma, Ibn Ulayth Ibn Burma, annahu sami'a Qabisa Ibn Burma al-Asadi. Qabisa Ibn Burma is companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qabisa to Ibn Burma al-Asadi. Qabisa Ibn Burma al-Asadi is a companion of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I think we should mention from the very beginning that this hadith, in the chain of report, we have Nusayr ibn Umar. Nusayr ibn Umar, ibn Yazid, ibn Qadisa, ibn Yazid al-Asadi, he is not known to have reported any hadith except this. In the entirety of his reporting a hadith, he has no other report except this hadith that we are reading. Nusayr ibn Umar, ibn Yazid ibn Qadisa, ibn Yazid al-Asadi, لا يعرف إلا بهذه الرواية. لا يعرف إلا بهذه الرواية. He does not, he is not known with any sort of a report except this. So, is being a trustworthy reporter or not cannot be established. And he is also saying that and fulan. This kind of a thing, when a reporter says and fulan, that fulan is mubham. That fulan is mubham. He has not been mentioned. His name is not even known. The name of his father is not even known. Not to say to know the trustworthiness is a weaker situation than the situation of Nusayr. Nusayr is known. The person is known. The father's name is known. The grandfather's name is known. His tribe from where he has come is known. That is Nusayr ibn Umar ibn Yazid ibn Qadis and all that. He's known. But he is not known to be a person who reliably reports hadith. Because only this hadith is known to have been reported from him. And he is reporting from a person, he can't even know his name. So we have two levels of witness. We have a person whose name we don't even know, fulan, somebody, one man. So Nusayr is reporting from Rawin Mubhan. Here we are, Rawin Mubhan. He is reporting from a reporter we don't even know. Who is he? We don't know his name. We don't know his father's name. We don't know his name. Anything about him. To the level of the weakness of the person he is reporting from is worse than the level of his own weakness. So this hadith, with this chain of reports, is weak for this reason. There's a third situation also. The person from whom Nusayr is reporting that he said is fulan, someone who is not known, he is also reporting from Burma. This Rawi, this reporter, Burma to Ibn Ulays, Ibn Burma. Burma to Ibn Ulays, Burma to Ibn Ulays, Ibn Burma is not also known. He is also majhul. So you can see Silsilatul Majahid or Silsilatul Majhuli. This isnad has one unknown reporter following an unknown reporter following an unknown reporter. Three of them in a row. Nusayr is unknown. His personality is not known. He is reporting from someone whose name is not even known. That person whose name was not known and personality was not known. He is also reporting from Burma. And that Burma himself is an unknown person. From the major, point of benefit we need to mention here is that the science of hadith is a very, very definite science. So when we say a hadith is sahih, everybody is known. The report is known to have been preserved. Likewise, when we say the hadith is sahih, then the report is well known to have been not preserved. So it's a definite science that gives definite answers about the situations of the reports and those who have reported those reports. So Burma ibn Ulays ibn Burma is majhul. Umar ibn Yazid is much is la yu'rafu haluhu. Likewise, he is reporting from Fulan, Rawin, Mubhamun. He's also saying that Burma ibn Ulays said, and Burma ibn Ulays himself is majhul, who now said he heard from Qabisa. Qabisa ibn Burma al-Asad. He is known. The companion is known. Qabisa ibn Burma al-Asad is known. But those who have reported and ascribed this hadith to him, they are unknown. However, this hadith is authentic because it has other corroborating reports. Al-Imam al-Tabrani and others have reported expressions, meanings from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, from the hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha. If they reported from other sources to show that the meaning of what they have reported is authentic and reliable. So what we are saying here is that this isnad is clearly not reliable, but the text itself is reliable. Why? It has been mentioned from other reports that are authentic. There are other authentic reports that show that the expression in this report, the matin of this hadith, is reliable. I hope that that is clear to us. That's how the ulama, the Imam al-Albani specifically, he rules this hadith authentic in his verification and checking on al-adab al-mufrad, rahimahullah. So in it, Qabisa ibn Burma al-Asadi said, "Kuntu inda al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam." That is hadith number 221. It says, "Kuntu inda al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasamituhu yaqul." I was with the Prophet in his companionship. I was sitting with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasamituhu yaqul. Then I heard him saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. أهل المنكر في الدنيا هم أهل المنكر في الآخرة. أهل المعروف في الدنيا, the people of goodness, those who show kindness to the people. المعروف اسم جامع أو كلمة جامعة لكل معروف حسنه شرعا وعقلا. المعروف كلمة جامعة لكل ما عرف حسنه شرعا وعقلا. المعروف, if you say this person is a person of معروف, what does the word معروف mean? We hear it a lot. الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. What does المعروف mean? المعروف is a كلمة جامعة. It comprises of لكل ما عرف حسنه, everything that is known to be good, every good thing, شرعاً, according to the Sharia, وعقلاً, and according to sound intellect. Everything that the Sharia and good, balanced sense of judgment show that this thing is good, that thing is ma'ruf. Everything that the Sharia shows that this thing is good, that thing is ma'ruf. Everything that sound intellectual judgment shows that, we say sound intellectual judgment, because not every intellect is sound. Sound, balanced intellectual judgment shows that this thing is good, then that thing is ma'ruf. Either that it is approved in the Sharia, or that it is approved both in Sharia and in common sense. And there is nothing that the Sharia approves to be good, except that you found it in balanced common sense that this thing is good. If the Sharia approves something, if the Sharia, the Quran approves something, the Sunnah approves something, you will find that that thing is ma'ruf. Likewise, on the other hand, al-munkar, that word, that kalima, it is kalimatun tashmalu kulla ma'urifa qubtuhu shar'an wa akla. Kullu ma'urifa qubtuhu. Everything that is known to be bad, everything that is known to be of no good, this thing is bad. It is referred to as what? Munkar. Whether the Sharia mentions it to be munkar, or that when it is given due contemplation, it is seen that this thing is bad. That thing is considered as what? Munkar. So what does al-ma'ruf mean? Every good thing is ma'ruf. Every good thing. And the way to know good things are that they have been either approved in the Sharia and in common sense, or that it is not clearly seen in the Sharia. But when it is given due contemplation, we find out that, oh, this thing is good, then that thing is ma'ruf. But if common sense shows that this thing is good, but the Sharia shows that it's bad, the considerations of the Sharia are giving a preference. You push ahead, you push forward for selection, the dictates of the Sharia, because that really means that your intellect has not given it contemplation as is appropriate. If you can contemplate appropriately, you will know that that thing is bad. If you think deeply, you will finally come back to agree with the Sharia that that thing is bad. So something is good when the Sharia sees it as good, because in the end, your intellect will find out that it is good. Something is bad because the Sharia considers it bad. So Ahlul Ma'ruf are the people of goodness. Every kind of goodness falls into this. Speaking what is good, encouraging what is good, whether in terms of our speech or in terms of our action. Every good deed, every good thing, helping the people, protecting them, granting them refuge when they need it, spending your money to help them. I always say this, when one young man says he's helping poor people, orphanage, this man is not a Muslim. This sadaqah will not be rewarded with anything except with the kind of praises that he's receiving in this world. Why? Because there's no iman with it. So it has no record. When these things will be beneficial is when the individual believes in Allah subhanahu, which is the first prerequisite for the acceptance of good deeds. The first prerequisite for the acceptance of good deeds is iman. That was why in hadith we read yesterday, the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which good deed is best? What was the first thing the Prophet mentioned? Imanun billah, believe in Allah. Without belief in Allah, no account is recorded. A man goes to dump billions in a bank and he has no account. No account. Where will it be recorded? So you know account. What gives you the account to be able to gain from the good that you do is that you have iman. But if the person now comes to become a person of iman tomorrow, all these deeds that are good that he did, Allah will bring it back into his records of deeds. Allah will bring it. If not, if he does not become a mu'mina, he passes away. He has just wasted his effort. The best of what he will gain is the deed that people will praise him, people will say well of him, and all of this. So the actual ma'ruf is ma'ruf that is followed with iman. Clean your iman. Don't make your iman an iman that is destroyed with shirk, an iman that is destroyed with nifaq, an iman that is destroyed with kufr. Clean your iman. Make your iman clean. Make your tawheed, your belief in the oneness of Allah, and other aspects of iman that we necessarily must believe. Make it clean, then be full of good deeds. Ahlul ma'ruf. So people who are like this, the first ma'ruf to yourself is that your iman is sound. And then you extend good to others. You extend good to others. You show people goodness. You also extend good to yourself, of course. Don't forget that we had read a narration that it says, when you feed yourself, it is considered as from sadaqah. You are granting yourself. You will be rewarded for it. So be nice to yourself. Be nice to the people. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to the people. Some people are like this. They are nice to others, good to others, helping others, protecting others, making things easy for the people, showing compassion, showing favors, showing gratitude. So much so that when people describe them, they don't have any way to say to them except that, that person is from Ahlul Ma'ruf. This man is from Ahlul Ma'ruf. He's a nice person. He is good. He helps people. He makes things easy for people. He does not bring harm to the people. He makes ease their affairs. When you are like this, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, hum ahlul ma'ruf fil akhirah. Hum ahlul ma'ruf. They will be the very ones, as if to say, nobody will change them. Nobody will come in their place. Hum ahlul ma'ruf. Ahlul ma'ruf, hum. They actually will be the very ones that will be from ahlul ma'ruf fil akhirah. Ahlul ma'ruf fil dunya. Ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. The people of goodness, who show goodness, kindness, compassion to people in this world, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. They will be the very ones that will be people of ma'ruf, people of goodness in the hereafter. How will that be? The ulama have given three explanations.
The ulama have given, how will they be from Ahlul Ma'ruf on the day of Qiyamah? The ulama have given three explanations. The first one they gave is that man bazala ma'rufahu lin-nasi fi dunya, the one who gives and extends kindness from himself to the people while in this world, ataahu Allahu jazaa'a ma'rufihi fil akhirah. Ataahu Allahu jazaa'a ma'rufihi fil akhirah. Allah will grant him the rewards of his goodness on the day of Qiyamah. Those who show kindness to the people in this world, hum ahlul ma'ruf, they will be the very ones that will receive the good reward for their goodness. So here, ahlul ma'ruf in akhirah means that they will be the ones who will receive the rewards of ma'ruf in akhirah. Receiving the rewards of ma'ruf in the akhirah. This is one interpretation of hum ahlul ma'ruf. They will be the ones that Allah will show ma'ruf to. Allah will show kindness to. Allah will show compassion to. Just as they showed compassion to the people while they were on the earth, they will receive compassion. They will receive kindness. They will receive favor. They will receive ease. They will receive the rewards for their sadaqat with Allah on the day of Qiyamah. This is one interpretation of them being from Ahlul Ma'ruf on the day of Qiyamah. The second interpretation of Hum Ahlul Ma'ruf fil Akhirah is that Yakunu Ahlan bi an yakuna shafi'an lahum fil Akhirah. They will have the ahaliyah to make a shafa'ah, to intercede for the people. Just like they were easing the affairs of the people while they were in this world. They will be able to stand in front of Allah to beg Allah to forgive some of the people. Allah, this one is my brother, forgive. And that will be also from ma'ruf. Just like when they were in this world, when a person had a problem, they will intercede and say, oh, please help this brother. Please forgive this person. Please give this person so thing. What they were doing in this world, they will also do it in the hereafter. How? They will be the ones who will be begging Allah to forgive some of the Muslims, their brothers, their relatives, their friends. Allah, please, this person is my friend. Forgive. That's ma'ruf. The same thing they were doing in the world. Finding ease, bringing comfort to the people, relieving the people of their difficulties. Allah will make it possible for them to relieve the difficulties of the people in the hereafter. Allah will make it easy for them to relieve the difficulties of the people also on the day of Qiyamah. So the first interpretation of Ahlul Ma'ruf fi dunya hum Ahlul Ma'ruf fil Akhirah is that those who do good in this world and exchange kindness and extend kindness and goodness to people, they will receive the rewards for their goodness on the day of Qiyamah. The second thing is that Allah will make them stand, they will be in the position to be able to beg Allah, to make shafa'ah. Beg Allah, Allah, please forgive my mother. Allah, please forgive my father. Allah, forgive my brother. Allah, forgive my sister. Forgive my friend. Forgive. They'll be able to beg Allah to make easy the affairs of the people also on the day of Qiyamah. Just as they were making their affairs easy in this world, they'll be able to make their affairs easy on the day of Qiyamah. There's a third interpretation that has been deduced from an asar by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum, when he explained hum ahlul ma'ruf fil akhirah. It was reported of him that yati ashabul ma'ruf yawm al-qiyamah. Yati ashabul ma'ruf yawm al-qiyamah. Those who do good to people will come on the day of Qiyamah. Those who help people, those who support people, those who make things easy for people, those who direct favors and kindness to people, those who extend charity to people, those who make things easy for people and do not direct harm to them. These people, يَأْتِي أَصْحَابُ الْمَعْرُوفِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This man will come on the day of judgment. فَيُغْفَرُ لَهُمْ بِمَعْرُوفِهِمْ. He will find that because of his kindness and goodness to the people, يُغْفَرُ لَهُمْ. He had already been forgiven. So they will be forgiven his sins. His sins will be forgiven. وَتَبْقَى حَسَنَاتُهُمْ جَامِئَةً. However, the good deeds that they have done, the reward will be there complete. They were just forgiven for showing kindness. But the reward, other beautiful rewards are still there waiting, intact. Then they'll be given those good deeds that are waiting for them. They had gained forgiveness. They had gained forgiveness from Allah. But how about the rewards of the rest of the good deeds? That one is waiting for them. Jami'atan, as is in this asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Then you can hand over that. I have excess. They had excess in this world, they gave to you. They will have excess too on the day of Qiyamah that they can give to you. So they will be, as they were giving in Ma'ruf while on the earth, they will also be able to give in Ma'ruf on the day of Qiyamah. So in the end, they will become people who were extending goodness to people while on the earth. They will also be able to extend goodness to people on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. Those who show kindness to people, those who make things easy for people, those who support people, those who help people, those who comfort people, those who aid people while on the earth, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya. First interpretation, they will gain the rewards for their goodness on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah will show them kindness. Second interpretation, they will be in the position to be able to beg Allah to be kind to the rest of the people, as they used to intercede for people on the earth for something that is good. Oh, I need so-so thing in so-so office. Please, can you help me? Say, I know somebody in that office. Let me call him. They will call him. That was what they did in this world. They will be able to do it again while on the day of Qiyamah. The third interpretation is that they will come on the day of Qiyamah and found out that Allah had forgiven their sins. So the reward for those good deeds, they will be sharing it and giving it out to people. You take, just as they were giving them in the dunya, take, take, take. They will be able to also give in the day of Qiyamah, take, take, take. This asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, Al-Imam ibn al-Asir mentioned it. Likewise, Sheikh Abu Rauf al-Munawi in Sayyid al-Qadir, he was also mentioned to have mentioned it. And the author of Fadlullah al-Samad, the Tawbihi al-Adab al-Mufrad, Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani, he has also mentioned this asar, rahimahullah. I hope that this hadith is clear. Ahlul ma'ruf fi dunya, hum ahlul ma'ruf fi al-akhirah. And then he said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, wa ahlul munkari fi dunya, hum ahlul munkari fi al-akhirah. The people of evil. We had explained that al-munkaru is ma'urifa kubhuhu shar'an wa akla. Ma'urifa kubhuhu. The matters that the evilness of them is known, shar'an, whether through the sharia or akla, or through common sense and intelligence. Ma'urifa kubhuhu shar'an wa akla. Things that are clearly useless, things that are clearly obnoxious, things that are clearly disgusting, as mentioned in the Sharia, and as we will find out also in balanced common sense. This thing is referred to as what? Munkar. Those who direct munkar to people will not receive other than munkar. They will also gain munkar on the day of Qiyamah. يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. May Allah protect us from being amongst the people of shar. I think that will suffice for Hadith 221. That from the major rewards of the people of goodness is that they will receive goodness on the day of Qiyamah. In Hadith 222, although the time is already past spent and that Hadith is a bit lengthy. Hadith 222 is a bit lengthy. I wish that we can quickly run through the hadith. The isnad is lengthy, the hadith is lengthy, but we can explain it. Fortunately, the hadith is weak, but its meaning is sound. The hadith is weak, but its meaning is sound. We can quickly run through it within the time that we have, inshallah. Hadith 222. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musa ibn Ismail, Wala Haddathana Abdullah ibn Hassan al-Ambari, Wala Haddathana Hibban ibn Asim, Wakana Harmalatu Aba Ummihi, Wahaddathatni Safiyatu ibnatu Ulaiba, Wadduhaybatu ibnatu Ulaiba, وكان جدهما حرملة أبا أبيهما أنه أخبرهم عن حرملة ابن عبد الله أنه خرج حتى أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان عنده حتى عرفه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فلما ارتحل قلت في نفسي والله لآتين النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حتى أزداد من العلم فجئت أمشي حتى قمت بين يديه فقلت ما تأمرني أعمل قال يا حرملة ائت المعروف واجتنب المنكر ثم رجعت حتى جئت الراحلة ثم أقبلت حتى قمت مقامي قريبا منه قلت يا رسول الله ما تأمرني أعمل قال يا حرملة ائت المعروف واجتنب المنكر وانظر ما يعجب أذنك أن يقول لك القوم إذا قمت من عنده فأته وانظر الذي تكره أن يقول لك القوم إذا قمت من عندهم فاجتنبه فلما رجعت تفكرت فإذا هما لم يدع شيئا. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله حدثنا موسى ابن إسماعيل. We have known موسى ابن إسماعيل is التبوذكي. موسى ابن إسماعيل التبوذكي رحمه الله. He said حدثنا عبد الله ابن حسان العنبري. عبد الله ابن حسان العنبري reported this hadith. He said حدثنا حبان ابن عاصم. حدثنا حبان ابن عاصم. حبان ابن عاصم was mentioned to have reported to عبد الله ابن حسان العنبري. And then it said, وَكَانَ حَرْمَلَةُ أَبَا أُمِّهِ حَرْمَلَ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. حَرْمَلَ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ was from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. حَرْمَلَ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. He was amongst those who used to be ascribed to lengthy salah. حَرْمَلَ mentioned here is حَرْمَلَ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. We are coming back to him. رضي الله عنه. He said, وَكَانَ حَرْمَلَةُ أَبَا أُمِّهِ. So Harmala is the father of the mother of Hibban ibn Asim. Hibban ibn Asim's mother. The father of that mother is Harmala. وَكَانَ حَرْمَلَةُ أَبَا أُمِّهِ. يعني أَبَا أُمِّ Hibban. So Harmala is the maternal uncle of, is the maternal grandfather. Maternal grandfather of Hibban ibn Asim. Fahaddathatni Safiyyatu ibnatu Ulayba. Safiyyatu ibnatu Ulayba. Wa Duhaybatu ibnatu Ulayba. Wa kana jaddahuma harmalatu. Jaddahuma harmala. Their grandfather, the grandfather of these two women, Safiyya and Duhayba. Their grandfather is who? Harmala. Harmala is the grandfather of Safiyya, ibnatu Ulayba, and Duhayba, ibnatu Ulayba. The grandfather of these two was who? Harmala ibn Abdullah, Aba Abihima. So is their paternal grandfather. Their grandfather from their father. Annahu akhbarahum an Harmala. So they reported. Yeah, they reported from Harmala ibn Abdullah. Harmala ibn Abdullah was the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is known for one thing, lengthy salah, lengthy nawafil. It was mentioned that he would perform very lengthy salah, so much that the ground where he used to stay to perform lengthy nawafil was deep with his feet. The way we see Maqam Ibrahim, Harmala ibn Abdullah has that. He has a place where he observes nawafil. The place is deep inside. Because of lengthy standing, he stands very lengthy in salah. Harmala. Harmala ibn Abdullah. Kana min al-musallin. He was from among those who are called musallun. They pray lengthy nawafil. So much that the ground where they observe that nawafil is deep inside from the marks of their feet. Radiallahu anhu. He said, he's the one who narrated that kharaja hatta ata nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went out on a journey until he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were on a journey. فَكَانَ إِنَّهُ حَتَّى أَرَفَهُ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was standing near the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the Prophet recognized that he was standing near him. فَلَمَّا إِرْتَحَلَ قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي. When they continued upon the journey, Harmala ibn Abdullah said, radiallahu anhu, I said to myself, Wallahi, la'atiyanna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By Allah, I will go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta azdada min al-ilm. So that I can increase in knowledge. Look at the intention of Harmala. Let me go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta azdada al-ilm, so that I can make more benefit, I can have more knowledge, was the reason he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fajitu amshi, so I went walking. Hatta kuntu bayna yaday, until I stood before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fakultu ma ta'amuruni a'amali. Look at the knowledge he's asking about. Messenger of Allah, what good deed will you command me to do, to stick to? What good deed? Ma ta'amuruni a'mal. What good deed will you encourage me or command me to stick to? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Harmala, Ya Harmala, O Harmala, i'til ma'ruf wajtanibil munkar. I'til ma'ruf. Be good. Be nice. Be kind. Be compassionate. Ease the affairs of people. Don't direct harm or hurt to the people. Wajtanibil munkar. And avoid every bad thing. Every bad thing, avoid it. I'til ma'ruf wajtanibil munkar. Do what is good and avoid what is bad. This is the point of reference in this hadith. Do what is good and avoid what is bad. Thumma raja'tu hatta ji'tu rahila. Then I went back until I went to my ride, the people I was traveling with. Thumma akbalt, thereupon, I stood up again. Hatta kumtu maqami qariban minhu. And then I went back again to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I went and stayed in the place I was staying the other time when I first went to him. Fakultu ya Rasulallah. I said to him, O Messenger of Allah, ma ta'amuruni a'amali. He asked him the same question again. What do you command me to stick to from the good deeds? Qala ya Harmala. The Prophet said, O Harmala, i'til ma'ruf. The Prophet repeated that thing. Do good. Be nice. Show compassion. Be kind. Help people. Support them. Direct ease to them. Wajtanibil munkar. Avoid everything that is bad. Every munkar. Every bad thing. Every obnoxious thing. Avoid it. Don't direct evil to people, whether from speech and from good deeds. This is something we all must pay regular attention to. It's not something to just hear and move on. It is something we need to stop by, contemplate, and do well about it. Correct ourselves when we have heard. Stick to doing what is good and avoid evil. When you now fall, we call it, when you fall and commit any kind of an evil, quickly replace with something that is good. If you make a mistake and you err regarding something, quickly turn up and make amends. May Allah protect all of us. So the Prophet said to Harmala, Ya Harmala, oh Harmala, i'til ma'ruf, do what is good, wajtanibil munkar, and avoid what is bad. Wanzur ma yu'jibuka uzunuka. وَانْظُرْ مَا يُعْجِبُ أُذُنَكَ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَكَ الْقَوْمُ إذا كنت من عندهم فأتيه. And then look for something that يُعجب أذنك, that will interest your hearing when you come to the people. Think about something that when people are sitting down discussing, you would like to hear it to be said about you. That is, people mention good deeds that people do. If someone does good, one time, one of our brothers, we mentioned it. He gave some huge amounts to the members of his family. We mentioned it. This is something good people like. This is good. So when people are seated, when you do good, they will mention it without you asking them to mention it. From the nature of human beings, you do the good. When you do it, don't expect them to mention it. Don't expect them to say thank you. Don't expect them to praise you, so that you can earn your rewards for your good deeds. But know it that from the nature, from the sunnah of Allah with the people is that when you do good to them, they mention it. It means what people mention to be good is good. So when you, if you will hear good, things you will hear to be good, they are the things that you should do. Things you will hear, ah, this thing is good. You do it. When people speak of good, they mention good. That is what you should do, O Harmala. If you go to a sitting, you will hear the people talk about goodness. Then do that thing people are talking about. Oh, helping people. People talk about social person. He helps people. He supports people. He eases their affairs. Supports them and ease their affairs. That is what he does. Likewise, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَانْظُرُ الَّذِي تَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَكَ الْقَوْمُ. Look at what you will hate that people will say, إِذَا كُمْتَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمْ. What people will say that you will hate. You will not like people to say, so first, it was bad. He did this, bad. He did that, bad. He did the other one, bad. He did the other one, unrighteous. You do not like that. Don't do that one they are saying. What the people will say to be bad, don't do it. What people will say to be good, do it. People will say something is good when it is actually good, and they will say it is bad when it is actually bad. So what the people say of goodness, do it. What the people say of evil, do it. I hope that this hadith is clear. What the people will say of evil, avoid it. What the people will say of good, do it. So he said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَانْظُرْ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ أُذْنَكَ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَكَ الْقَوْمُ. Look at what the people, what will impress, what will interest your hearing, that the people should say, إِذَا كُمْتَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمْ. When you stand listening to them, you will hear them say, this thing is good, this thing is good. فَأْتِهِ. Do that good thing. Do the good thing. What the people will be talking about to be good, do it. وَانْظُرِ الَّذِي تَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَكَ الْقَوْمُ إِذَا كُمْتَ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمْ. Also, look at what the people will be saying and you will not like it. That man, he is not known with anything but greed, very greedy. He does not know any benefit except for himself. He does not do anything except this. He does, and then the people begin to say evil of him. Don't do those evil things. وَاجْتَنِبْهُ. Avoid those things. Harmala ibn Abdullah said, فَلَمَّا رَجَعْتُ تَفَكَّرْتُ. When I went back to my people, تَفَكَّرْتُ. I began to think, because the Prophet had said to him, يَا حَرْمَلَا إِتِ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَاجْتَنِبِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Do what is good and avoid what is evil. I began to think, تَفَكَّرْتُ. I thought so deeply. فَإِذَا هُمَا لَمْ يَدَعَ شَيْئًا. And it appeared to me that with these two things the Prophet had said, I should stick to goodness and I should avoid evil. These two things, لَمْ يَدَعَ شَيْئًا. He has not left any advice behind. He didn't leave anything behind. He told me everything already. Because everything we come under ma'aruf, when your iman is sound, you learn tawheed and your tawheed is sound. It will come under ma'aruf. When you observe salah correctly, it will come under ma'ruf. When your hajj is sound, it will come under ma'ruf. When you give sadaqah, it will come under ma'ruf. every good deed to come under ma'ruf. And the Prophet said to him, eat il ma'ruf, alayhi salatu salam. Stick to that which is ma'ruf. Yani, what the people know, ma'urifa husnuhu, what everybody knows to be good, stick to it. Stick to the good. Stick to that which is good. Wajtanibil munkar. And avoid what the people, ma'urifa kubtuhu, what is known to be bad, avoid. What is known to be good, stick to it. So this is very important for us to understand. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to Harmala. We can quickly go to Hadith 223 because it is basically what was mentioned in Hadith 221. But in this case, it was mentioned from Salman al-Farisi. أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْمَعْرُوفِ فِي الدُّنْيَا هُمْ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Salman al-Farisi, he said, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْمَعْرُوفِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, those who show kindness to people in this world, هُمْ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, they are the very ones who will be of the people of goodness on the day of Qiyamah. We'll explain 3 minutes on how the people will be أَهْلُ الْمَعْرُوفِ on the day of Qiyamah. The first thing is that their jaza, their rewards would be ma'ruf. The rewards they will receive from Allah will be of goodness. They will be in the position to stand to make intercession for the people. They will be in the position to help the people as they were helping them, easing their affairs while they were on the earth. I think we can stop here such that in the next class, we can move to the next chapter. Inna kulla ma'rufin sadaqa, and the rest of the chapter that will follow it, one after the other. These are general issues of how to relate with the people as far as Islam is concerned. Try to be a person who directs goodness to people. If you direct goodness to people, you will receive goodness on the day of Qiyamah. You'll be in the position to give and hand goodness to people in the day of Qiyamah. You'll be in a position to beg Allah to forgive people on the day of Qiyamah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the group of good people. And we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evil of being amongst people who direct evil to others. I think we can stop here, Abba Yusuf, if we have a few questions that we can attend to today. Abba Yusuf. Amin wa antum.
Bayyad Allah wa iyyakum.
Amin wa iyyakum.
Please, what does athar mean?
Athar. Athar means two or three things. The first thing an athar will mean is hadith. If you say athar, it means hadith. Athar means hadith. A statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or an action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or an approval of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you say athar, it's another word for hadith, just like sunnah. So you can say sunnah, these words are used interchangeably. You can say sunnah, you can say athar, you can say hadith, you can say hadith, you can say sunnah. You can say asar. Asar is another word for what? Sunnah or what? Or hadith. This is one usage of that word asar. Asar is also used to refer to narrations from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslims, generally speaking. Reports that have not reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those are mawqufat and maqtu'at. They are usually referred to as athar, narrations from the companions, narrations from the tabi'un, narrations from atba'ut tabi'in. They are all usually referred to as what? Athar or athar. So that is the second usage of that word, athar. The third usage of athar is evidence, proof. Somebody can ask you, give me an athar regarding what you are saying. That. Give me a proof. When it is used as proof, what they mean is that give me a hadith or give me a statement from a companion that affirms something. So when you say, for example, in our home madrasa, Darul Asar, that is a place where the bulk of what we pay attention to are things that are connected to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected to the companions and the early Muslims as far as the deen is concerned. And one of the early Muslims, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, reported him to have said that innama ad-deenu al-asar, innama ad-deen, this deen is asar, meaning that this deen is depend on the sunnah, this deen is depend on the statements of the companions, radiallahu anhum. This deen is evidence, proof, evidence, proof. That is what the deen is dependent on. I hope that that explanation will suffice for the question about Yusuf.
What rulings do we make out of a weak hadith possessing sad meaning?
A weak hadith possessing a sound meaning. We take the meaning from the hadith. The hadith that come would have been conveyed with a weak chain. But you will now be able to say that this hadith has lessons. Why? There are other authentic hadiths that proves that hadith to be correct, that proves that matn. The isnad is da'if, but the matn is sahih. The reason we mention that here is that we are also reading the isnad. So we can say this isnad is da'if, but the matn is sahih. Every hadith has two parts. Every hadith has two parts. The first part of a hadith is the isnad, the chain of reporters. Haddathana fulan, haddathana fulan, haddathana fulan. For example, if you pick Muwatta of Imam Malik, you see Imam Malik will say, haddathani Nafi, his teacher Nafi, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, who reports to Imam Malik. And Nafi would have reported it from his master, Abdullah ibn Umar. So you have Abdullah ibn Umar reporting from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you pick Muwatta Imam Malik, Muwatta Imam Malik, Imam Malik will document and say, haddathani Nafi, haddathani Ibn Umar, qala haddathani Nafi, qala haddathani Ibn Umar, qala haddathani, qala Rasulullah sallallahu. This is the isnad. This is called isnad, chain of report. The second part of the hadith is the matnu, the text itself. What is it that the Prophet has said? Now, it is possible that the isnad is weak, but the matnu will be sahih. How do we know that the matnu is sahih? That statement of the Prophet is sahih. Maybe if you go with one isnad, that isnad contains a weak reporter. You can find another report. It can come from the hadith of Abu Huraira. And then the report that reports it from the one who compiled that hadith will be authentic. So we'll be discussing the matnu. If we are discussing it as a hadith of Abu Huraira, we say this hadith is sahih. But if we are discussing it as a hadith of Ibn Umar, for example, that has come to us with a weak report, we say this isnad is weak, but this matnu is authentic. Why? It is proven from the report of Abu Huraira that has come to us with an authentic report that matnu, that statement of the Prophet, is authentic. So we take the statement, we leave the isnad aside. So when we take that statement now, the lessons inside it now become beneficial to us. One example is the hadith that we have read this morning, and we have read a few other hadiths like that in the past. I hope that this explanation will be clear to the one who has asked the question. Inshallah. Amin wa antum.
This question is from a sister.
Nam.
She said, please, I want you to assist me. I'm a sister, but committed dinner. When I told my parents that I wanted to do Akidu Nikah, they insist. But ever since I gave birth, my life is not balanced again. In the sense that I don't pray, nor fast, lying, committing sin, which was not happening to me before. I'm tired of my life, and I do beg Allah for forgiveness. Please, what can I do? I'm totally fed up.
Allah, may Allah protect all of us. Well, the response is multifaceted. And I'm sure there are many others that might have fallen into this kind of a trouble. Some parents may know, parents may not know. So you need all the parents have theirs. The individual also has her own. The girl herself has her own faults. The parents have faults too. The Almighty Allah forgive everybody. I will suggest to this sister, look for a very learned person and trusted person in your community. A learned person, elderly, not a young person, an elderly person in your community who is also learned about the religion. Complain to him. He will meet your parents and then they will sit down and resolve the matter with you. But as for you directly here, I can say to you, go back to your salah. Go back to your ma'ruf. Do what is good, wajtanibil munkar, and avoid every negative thing that you know you do. Avoid it. Look for in your area a place where you can attend learning circles and mawa'id, places where sermons are done. It will help you stick upon regular reminders. If you are a very, very prominent person on the social media, avoid social media for now. If you're a person who is addicted to your phones, avoid your phones for now. If you're a person who is addicted to friends through whom you came upon this evil, avoid those friends. Stick to what is good. Listen to lectures that will benefit you and keep you upon regular reminders of Allah. But like I said earlier, look for a learned elderly person of Sunnah in your community. He will handle the matter with you together with your parents. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the affair of this young woman. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the rest of the Muslim women, our children, our daughters, our sisters from this kind of a situation. And this sister who has gotten into it, may Allah remove her from this difficulty. May Allah ease her affairs. May Allah straighten her affairs. May Allah remove love for evil from her mind. May Allah fill up her mind with love for goodness and make it easy for her to be upon goodness. So Yusuf, this is a very sad question today, but I think you can come here, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.